My name is Becca Ford, and I love you. I love you. Even if you're not on a first name basis with me yet, my heart loves your heart deeply. And I can't even tell you how delighted I am to be here this morning. This is my first time getting to be here this semester. My hands have been so gratefully full with what God is doing in our family, especially, yes, our newest blessing, Isaac David Chambers Ford, who joined our family in November. Yes, come on, baby. Take a lap. I was asked, will you be teaching with him? And I think I said, let's be honest. We all know that I speak with my hands way too much, and there's like a 50% chance the baby would go like launching into the front row. So Stephanie won. But he's just 4 months old, and y'all, he embodies joy. His name, Isaac, means laughter. Isaac David means beloved. So laughter, beloved. And we gave him a second middle name, Chambers, because I'm a little extra. And after Oswald Chambers, who is a man who loved the Lord tremendously and chose to live tenaciously with wisdom. So he was born in November on the same night. On the same night that the Northern Lights graced our skies. Now, some of you are thinking, we've heard her talk about Northern Lights before. Well, yeah, you sure have, because some of you may recall that my husband and I took a long-anticipated adventure last February to go see the Northern Lights in Iceland. And you might appreciate especially that the Lord not only has a sense of humor, as he undeniably and unabashedly put the Northern Lights in the Arkansas skies, which doesn't happen the night that my son was born. That may or may not be a little souvenir from Iceland himself, which I just like, that's just God showing off. Y'all, that is God showing off his power. And I find that tremendously delightful. Y'all know that verse in Zephaniah that says, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And if the Northern Lights are not the skies singing to us, I do not know what else they could be. So, Isaac David Chambers Ford, newest member of the tribe. But we are so loved, friends. We are loved by a God who is amazing in his power. And he's tender and intimate in his kindness to us. It mostly leaves me speechless, which is just a hallelujah moment. Ironically, today our topic is not speechlessness, though wisdom prompts that perhaps it should be on occasion. I think that's earring banging against that. You didn't notice, but the ADHD in me is like, oh, that's not going to last. So today we're going to be asking the Lord to continue to reveal his wisdom to us through Proverbs in the specific areas of words and speech. And I have to confess to you guys that when this topic came to me, I was like, oh, no. Wise words, there's got to be someone else. Like, it was very much I have more to learn about that than I have to say about it. And I think that was one of the moments that I knew I needed to step into obedience and dig in. I remember what Paul said to the church at Philippi when he said, he's talking about wanting to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. This is Philippians 3, 10 through 14, kind of paraphrasing. But I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. And then he says, not that I have already attained all this. He's saying, I'm speaking of a position of not having it all together. And I'm saying that this morning because I'm like, hey, I feel like I have it less together in this department maybe than I ever have in my life. Oh, thank God. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is continually revealing to me my desperate need for him. He says, not that I've already attained all of this or have already been made perfect. I press on to take hold that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting a lifetime of getting it wrong and straining towards eternity of being made perfect in Christ. Not made perfect in me. Can't do it. Made perfect in Him. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. So I'm going to pray, if that's good with you guys. If it's not, I'm doing it anyway. But I'd love for you to join me, because where two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. That's what the Bible promises us. So, Lord, we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Thank you, God. We're so comforted that you alone are God, and we are humbled that we'd be invited to be reconciled to relationship with you through Jesus. Thank you for His death and resurrection, and that we get to celebrate and walk in the freedom of Sunday morning, an empty tomb, a Jesus who is not a gardener, but who calls us by name. So, Lord, quiet our spirits and give us ears to hear you call us each by name right now. Would you lift our faces to you to hear you tenderly and confidently speak truth in our identity over us? We confess that we're so prideful and arrogant in our ambitions. We acknowledge that we're capable of nothing truly life-giving outside of you, giver of life. Thank you for creating our bodies, our minds, our senses. Thank you for creating our tongues, Lord, and our lips. All these to be used for your glory. Reveal our dark places, Lord, that your light would bring life to us and through us. We exist for you and because of you, Creator God. Lord, come and fill this place. And God, would you use me as you want? Would you put your wisdom in my mouth? And let anything that's worthless fall away as if it were on deaf ears. And thank you for the warning in Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Keep me from that, Lord. Instead, Abba, we echo the request of Psalm 19:14. Will the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. You alone are God. We praise you for who you are and the miraculous things that only you can do. Amen. So I just cried all the way through that. Those of you that may not be familiar, these do not turn off. They just, it's like a steady drip. So they get more drippy as I get more intense. So there you go. Okay, wise speech. Who had fun this week reading that chapter and really delving into your heart? Because if you are anything like me, sometimes I come up against these chapters and I'm like, oh, I want to do that better. I want to be wise. But sometimes I look backwards over the landscape of the choices that I've made and I get frustrated with myself because I know truth. And sometimes I choose on purpose, like a child, to do the wrong thing. Praise be to God who loves me here and invites me into freedom and doesn't continually punish me for my foolishness. Do I still end up dealing with the consequences of my choices? Absolutely. Late night intense conversations with my husband where I am dug in and all up into my own sin nature never go well. Never, not even once. Late night conversations with my husband where I'm really intense and dug into my own selfishness and then listen to the Lord saying, grace, humility, forgiveness. Those end up so sweet. Maybe not even immediately in there and now, but it has these resonating echoes of building something bigger. Maybe for you, it's not tense conversation with a loved one, but maybe it's a sharp interaction with somebody you don't even know online. Those are words, and they matter. And if the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart are aiming to be acceptable in His sight, then all of our words matter. The ones we think, the ones we speak, the ones that we don't speak, but we use our fingers to say, the ones that we want to say, and then delete, 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 delete. Anybody else? No, just me? Okay. Speech matters. All of our speech matters. And there's a verse that, if you're going to memorize a verse for this, the one that I would toss out that might be helpful to remember today is Proverbs 16, 23, and 24. Proverbs 16, 23, and 24. And it says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 16, 23, and 24 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Oh, Steph, I forgot to ask, what's our end time? Sweet. So in thinking about words, the Lord helped paint a picture for me, because my goodness, just close your eyes and point to any page in the book of Proverbs, and it's words, 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 your speech, your lips, your like all of it. And I felt overwhelmed, and I was like, Lord, what do you want to teach us in this? And he kindly gave me a physical picture, and I was so grateful, because I'm a physical kind of girl. Honeycomb. Do you know that a honeycomb, a single cell of a honeycomb, is hexagonal? That means it has six perfect sides. Do you know that that is one of the strongest strongest structures that anything can be created out of? It's used in everything from like aircraft floors to beehives to, pretty sure it's NASA, all the things. So, but it's got six sides. And the purpose of that six-sided hexagonal structure that bees, tiny little bees, make all by themselves out of wax is that they minimize material usage while maximizing strength. Oh, I want that to be my words. I want to minimize my material usage while maximizing their strength and their potency and their power. That's what I want the Lord to do with my life. So a honeycomb, six sides, and we're going to go through six things about words. Okay. So if diligence is putting wisdom to work, like Heather Nix said back in, I think the maybe second week we were all together, I always think of busy bees when I think of the concept of diligence. And so diligence is putting wisdom to work. So I want to be diligent about the words of my mouth. So here are the six truths we're going to consider in speech today, and then we're going to kind of unpack all six super quick. This is not comprehensive by any means. These are the six that the Lord dropped onto my lap and was like, please learn these. So this is what I'm focusing on, and you just get to come along for the ride. So I'm going to list all six of them off, and then I'll list them again as we go. So the first one is wise speech is we speak what we focus on. That's the first one. We speak what we focus on. We speak what we focus on. The second one is wise speech is spirit-led. Spirit-led. Wise speech is spirit-led. The third one is wise speech is a gift to others. Wise speech is a gift to others. Wise speech is a gift to others. Now, that doesn't mean it's always fun. We'll get there later. Have you ever gotten a gift that was a good gift, but not necessarily a fun one? Number four is going to be speech, not just wise speech, but speech is character revealed. Speech is character revealed. Speech is character revealed. That was four. Five is wise speech is disciplined. Wise speech is disciplined. Wise speech is disciplined. And number six is wise speech worships. Wise speech worships. So I am really into words and language. Thesauruses give me a thrill. Like, I'm into that. Synonyms, let's go. Big words like serendipitous and little ones like ilk. I adore well-placed punctuation. I think the crime against commas this day and age and exclamation points, they are carrying too much of their weight and people just need to calm down. I'm annoyingly passionate about spelling and have been since I was little. Elementary school spelling bee champ. What, what? And in fact, for Valentine's Day this year, my husband, the gift he was proudest to give to me, I am not even kidding. Was ever gonna, but it was so sweet of him. Was a t-shirt with a T-Rex on it. The words on it were, "Let's eat kids." Underneath, in smaller print, it said, "Punctuation matters," because it's either "Let's eat, comma, kids," or it's just "Let's eat kids." So, you know, punctuation matters. There's your grammar lesson for the day. Properly placed commas are a gift to all, or at least kids when they're being chased by a T-Rex. But what we say matters, and how we say it matters, and when we speak matters, and when we choose to discipline ourselves not to speak matters. Sometimes that silence can carry a greater weight even than using all your words. But let's be clear, we're not just talking about the spoken word, right? Like we talked about earlier as it relates to speech. We have the capability to speak in person at any given moment. We can call anybody on a phone at any given time, anywhere. And we can have video calls and Zoom conferences, and we can spew all of our thoughts and opinions through our fingers on social media, text messages, or wherever ad nauseum. We can use words more today in this day and age than ever before. Can you think of a more important time for us to discipline ourselves in wisdom? I cannot. So much of our world is drowning today in words, words, words. Aren't you grateful that I'm here to give you more? And they are also the common denominator of our days. You and I may not do a single other thing similarly outside of breathe oxygen and be here today, except for use words. You've already used a bunch of them today. You're going to use a bunch more. And this is where we're going to come to our first honeycomb side. And this is the one that I'm like desperate. I'm like, Lord, I want this to characterize me. We speak what we focus on. We speak what we focus on. Proverbs 9:10, here's your Proverbs verse for this side. It says, Proverbs 9:10 is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Imagine that were like a sliding scale. Where would you be on that sliding scale? Maybe your inside thoughts are more of a gushing folly situation. That counts because we're going to talk about what happens in our heart and how it affects our words in a little bit. But if it's folly versus wisdom, I know where I want to be. But in order to do that, we go back to that first verse that we were just talking about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of wisdom, beginning of wisdom. So if I want to be a wise woman who commends knowledge, that's what I have to focus on, the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I've got to dial it in on what I'm focusing on. So this is another one of those moments where we've got really great tools that we can hold in our hand at any given point in time. And if you pull your phone up and you look at how you've spent your time, it'll tell you a lot about what occupies your mind. Did you know that in your settings app, you can go down and see what spends the most time on your screen? For me, it's probably Amazon, if I'm really honest, because I'm like, I don't have time to shop for that. And I just went through four birthdays in a row, like in 30 days, back to back to back to back to back. harrowing. But it tells me a lot about where my eyes have been and about what I'm focusing on. Have I spent as much time or as much energy even deep diving into God's word? It's a great heart check for me, at least. What am I speaking about? Because what I'm looking at, what I'm focusing on, is going to affect what I'm speaking about. We cannot speak what we do not know. We cannot speak wisely if we have not first tied into his wisdom. I'm so encouraged by the knowledge that he continually reveals himself to me, that he promises, Jeremiah 29:13, that if I seek him, I will find him when I seek him with my whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13, if I seek him, I will find him when I seek him with my whole heart. I cannot speak wisely. I can't pour out an empty cup. So until he fills me with his wisdom, I cannot speak wisely. Got to spend time with him and dive in to know that. So Lord, we just ask, would you make us women of noble character who intentionally speak with wisdom and have faithful instruction on our tongues because we have sought you and longed to know you in fear and reverence. So now we're going to approach the second side of our honeycomb. And I got to tell you, I think we take this, the privilege of speech, for granted way too often. It tends to be highlighted for me when I'm in a situation grappling for the right words. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you're like, ooh, where's the adult that's supposed to tell us what to say in this situation? Yeah? So the second honeycomb side is wise speech is Holy Spirit-led and agrees with God's word. Wise speech is Holy Spirit-led and agrees with God's word. If he takes you into an uncomfortable situation, he will never compel you to do something that is outside of his word. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. Wise spirit is Holy Spirit-led and agrees with God's word. Think about what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, verses 18 through 20. He was commissioning them to go and do something, and he's warning them. He's saying, hey, you're going to end up imprisoned. You're going to end up in front of leaders and people that can decide your life. And he said, on my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, listen carefully. Do not worry about how to respond or what to say. In that hour, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That same power is available to us right now. When the Lord compels you to go and have a conversation with someone and you're like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know the verse that goes with that. Not your job. Your job is to be obedient and to be tied into his wisdom so that he can make you useful for his glory. That's our whole purpose on this planet, to know him, to make him known. We exist for his glory. And that is when we find the greatest fulfillment in our beings, when we are glorifying him with our existence. Secret to happiness? That. Even in the most dire circumstances? That. Even when you're grieving in like ways that you cannot even verbally express, it's still that we get to bring him glory at our lowest low and our highest highs. And some of us have gotten to walk through that, and some of us have walked through a tiny piece of that. And some of us have walked through big pieces of that, but that's where we build faith muscles, right? If I'm going to know God and make him known, then I've got to get to know him. Knocking my mic off. We've already proved that I don't need this. No lights, no mic, let's go. Okay, so Proverbs 15:7. Here's your Proverbs verse for this honeycomb. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Ooh, did you hear that juxtaposition? The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. It starts in the heart. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Proverbs 15:7. So praise God. Lord, please help us have the courage to step out of the boat and speak when your spirit compels us, wherever that is, however that is. Help us be obedient in our courage. Soak us in the truth of your word so that we speak accurately, boldly, and bring you glory. Be glorified in us, Lord. All right, so now we're coming around the corner to the third honeycomb. So speech, right? This is this glimmering capability that separates us from much of creation, doesn't it? It's one of the pivotal milestones that welcome us into relationship with other humans, right? Like I have that tiny little baby that looks at me and he just looks at me with those great big eyes and his long daddy's eyelashes as if I wasn't already in love enough. And I look back into his face and I often wonder, what are you thinking? What do you wish you could tell me? And they coo and they babble. By the way, this is the party section over here. There are like 100 babies over here. And mamas, I know what it took to get here this morning. And I'm so proud you're here. And I'm so proud you keep being here. Because this is the best thing that we can do for our kids. Best we can do for ourselves, best we can do for our husbands is dig in deep. Get filled up so we can pour it out. Thank you for being here, Mom. Moms. But I'm just like, these are my people over here that, yeah, we're making noise and we're doing our best. I don't know. Sorry, that's icky. But it's a daunting task to try to teach another person how to speak, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about how to form words, although I remember when our oldest, Annie, was little, I was like, how do I do this? Like, does anybody else remember that moment where you're like, how do I, like, teach you how to speak? And then it just sort of happened. Praise God that that was already, like, innate, even though I was, like, panicking about it for a minute. But teaching them to collect their thoughts and form words, whether growing from infant babbling to childish chatter or learning to articulate as an adult, right? Even my husband and I still challenge each other about the way that we speak because, boy, tone matters. Timing matters. The words that we say matter because they might land and sink deeply into somebody without me even knowing it. Perhaps you're even thinking about what it means to relearn how to speak after an injury, practicing tedious vocal exercises in an effort to combat a body that's hindered by sickness or trauma. I have a friend that's dealing with MS, and she's like, this could be a real part of my life. Or maybe it's learning a second language to communicate more fully with someone from a different cultural background. Whatever it is, this third honeycomb side is wise speech is a gift to others. Proverbs 31:26. Does anybody happen to know it off the top of their head? She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, Proverbs 31 that's the chapter about a woman or a wife of noble character at the end of Proverbs. And it's no surprise to me that wisdom is personified in a female. Do you know that folly is also personified as a female in the book of Proverbs? And it says the woman folly is defiant and loud. Her feet never stay at home. Man, it paints a pretty brutal picture. And then it ends. They end the book of Proverbs with chapter 31 that gives you a pretty impossible to-do list. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't measure up to that woman and be like, but I don't. Instead, Lord, grow these things in me. Show me where you are making my arm strong for whatever tasks you're giving me. Lord, would you speak with wisdom and put faithful instruction on my tongue? And this goes back to that spirit-led speech, because if we're asking him to do that, then at the right moment, we'll have the right thing to say. And speaking of the right thing to say, here's another Proverbs about words that just is tenderly, so good to my heart. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I don't know why I would ever need apples of gold in settings of silver, but it sounds awesome, right? Apples of gold, beautiful and delicious in settings of silver. Something pure and clean and beautiful. That's what I want my words to land like. A word fitly spoken, not randomly spoken or chucked out there or kind of thrown over your shoulder as you head out the door. But fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. I think that comes from discernment. Discernment comes from wisdom. And I got to confess that with a tiny baby and the exhaustion that comes from just life, words are hard. Anybody else? These are the days that I feel like we train in the off season for the like sleep deprivation, like what is happening now? It's wild and it makes you do crazy things and say crazy things. I found my car keys after 3 hours of looking in the freezer. Just, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. My phone has ended up in the laundry twice since Isaac has been born. I think I just like put it on top and then like carry and dump and I don't know. And the Ringer is never on. So, you know, I haven't washed it yet. So I feel like that's a victory. Can I get an amen? But most of the time when I'm trying to do things really, really, really well, it's that much more frustrating when I don't get it right. Like I can't remember the thing that I'm pointing to, like whatever that word, whatever the word for that thing is, it's usually like clipboard or Clay Ford, my husband. By the way, a thing that you can't remember, that's called lethologica when you can't remember that. A person when you can't remember who that person is, that's called lethonomia. So forgetting a thing and forgetting a name. Lethologica and lethonomia. Or why I walked into a room, that has a name too. It's called the doorway effect. You walk through, I'm not kidding, this is a real thing. You walk through the door, you forget why you're in that room. Do you know how? Yes. And that's exactly what you do. Do you know that there's a way to fix that? You walk into a room and you stand there and you're like, no idea, not a clue. Walk out of the room. This works. Walk out of the room, stand back in the room that you came from, collect your thoughts, and usually it'll come to you. I'm not kidding. And or sometimes by stating your intention, I'm going into that room to get whatever I was looking for. And you walk into the room and you remember. It happens. It's the same thing about like if there's a song stuck in your head, to get it out of your head, listen to that song all the way through. And that usually washes it out. The interesting thing about the way that our brains work is that that's part of a healthy filing system that like helps wipe short-term memory away so you can use it faster. So when you walk through the doorway into a new room, your brain's like, and we're doing something new now. So if you say what you're doing as you go into that room to go get it, you're much less likely to forget it. Either that or you'll just look crazy and you can thank me for it later. But as the passage of time becomes fuzzy with little people, and I can't remember if it's Blursday the 18th of Jan-February, I'm grateful that God's word never changes and that I can go back to that with some constant. Those pressure cookers, however, of not feeling like I can remember what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to be, they usually bring out things in us that we don't love, right? We get squeezed and something erupts. My dad described it to me like this. He goes, you've got this beautiful orange. When I was really little, I will never forget this. He handed me an orange and he knew that the bag of oranges was bad, but he handed me this beautiful orange. And he goes, what do you think? Is it going to taste awesome? I knew my dad well enough at this point that I'm like, sure, Dad. And he goes, well, how do we find out? And I was like, well, we're going to have to peel it. And he goes, you're right. Until you are squeezed, you don't really know what's inside of you. Until you're squeezed. So this is the fourth honeycomb side. Our speech is character revealed. Our speech is character revealed. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, or from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're like, whoa, that is so wise, that's because those are Jesus's words. I cannot take any credit for that. That is Luke 6:45. Jesus is the one that's telling us that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have a healthy moment of self-reflection and you think about some of the words that have come out of your mouth and they're things that kind of make you cringe, man, it's time to say, Lord, do heart surgery on me. That's not, I need to get my act together. That's, Lord, will you completely redeem and revitalize my heart so that out of my heart I would speak wisely. I would speak joy. I would speak kindness. I would be a gift to others. We named our son Isaac David Chambers, and here's a solid Oswald Chambers quote that I love. The greatest test of a man's character is his tongue. The greatest test of a mom's character, of a woman's character, of a wife's character, of a daughter's character, of a sister's character, the greatest test of your character may be your tongue. I think of the places that I have let my own patterns of speech slip, because what I hear around me, what I hear when I'm watching a TV show, doesn't reflect who I want to be. But boy, those patterns seem to work their way into my pattern of speech. That's been very convicting for me as I've studied this. So whatever your pressure cooker season happens to be right now, ask yourself, how am I responding to these pressures? What are they revealing about me and about my character that the Lord is ready to transform in you? Because that's what he's offering. He's not saying, get it together, come to me. He's saying, come to me. Let's walk forward in freedom. I would like to know that when I get squeezed, what comes out of me is sweet. And it tastes good, like honey from a honeycomb. You see what we're doing here? Mm-hmm. So as we consider our words and wisdom, did you know that women on average speak nearly 22,000 words per day? Yeah, that's approximately 3,000 more than men. And a lot of that has to do with our social roles. We're child rearers for the most part. We do a lot of educating and teaching, and then we converse with each other and compare notes, and, you know, that's the thing. But all of those words, maybe we don't need to use them all every single day. In fact, sometimes the wisest speech, here's our fifth honeycomb side, sometimes the wisest speech we possess is the discipline of choosing self-control and restraint. Fifth side is wise speech is disciplined. Wise speech is disciplined. You do not need to be a spewing fountain or a fire hose all the time, airing every thought that comes into your mind. God gives us the opportunity to discipline ourselves, to be discerning about what we say. Oh, thank the Lord. Because there's a whole lot rolling around upstairs in here that you do not need to hear, I promise. Wise speech is disciplined. Wise speech is disciplined. Back to Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. That's our Proverbs verse for this one. Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. It's no surprise to me that that is about a woman, a wife of noble character. Just because I think it doesn't mean I need to say it. I have a very good friend who is not afraid of hurting my feelings. By the way, there's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I don't remember the reference for that one, but I know that it's true because I have a wise woman who will look me in the eyeballs lovingly. She has prayed over me. She has discipled me, and she can level me with a kind, hey, can we talk about something that I know that you need to know about yourself, a blind spot that you cannot see. If you don't have a person like that in your life, get one. It is courageous to step into that kind of a relationship, but it is so refining and good. Her advice to me was that the Lord does not need me to be someone else's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, created everything out of nothing. And the Lord does not need me to tell my husband when I think he is in the wrong. I do get to gently come alongside him as he gently comes alongside me, or tries to sometimes. And sometimes we get it real wrong. But there's an opportunity for me to hold that prompting before the Lord and say, Lord, is this me wanting to be right? Or is this you asking me to step forward in wisdom? The Lord does not need me to be his Holy Spirit. He does need me to listen and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that is to stand and pray with my mouth shut. I have prayed more often than I can tell you that the Lord would put a gate on my lips. Because sometimes I feel things I know I ought not say because it will make things worse. And that's the enemy going, fight, 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 fight. And I don't want to be that woman. Proverbs 9:10. Memorize this one, please. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I think about even my children. It is so much easier for me to say gently 5 words that their heart hears than 40 words that land on deaf ears. Too many words sometimes dilutes the message. Lord, give me the right words that I may succinctly say what you want me to say. And so here we're coming to number 6, our last honeycomb side. And in light of recent news, anybody else been excited about what's going on up in space these days? Anybody? Am I the only one? Give me like a whoop whoop if you're also like an astronaut fan. Okay, so we've got 4 people. They are very many miles from the Earth, riding around in like a tic-tac box, whatever, like very small. But there was an opportunity yesterday for one of them to sign off before they went around the dark side, backside of the moon. Pilot Victor Glover had the chance. Anybody else hear this? Pilot Victor Glover had a chance to sign off and say, we'll see you in 40 minutes. They would be the only 4 people on the planet that would not be able to be in contact with Earth, with anybody else on Earth. Think about that. And right before they slipped around the backside of the moon, he chose to use those seconds while the world was watching and listening to draw the entire world's attention to Jesus's teaching. He invited them to consider a love relationship with God. He spoke Jesus's name, and he said he was a really exceptional teacher too, and he commanded us to love one another. And then they slipped around the backside of the moon. It was like the ultimate mic drop. I was like, okay. He tantalized us with an invitation to be loved by Jesus and then let it sit there. He didn't preach a sermon. It took like 10 seconds. If you have a chance, go listen to it. And then the commentator, after, I think it was right after him, they showed an image of the spacecraft that they're on called the Orion, the moon, and then the crescent Earth, the little bit that we could see. And so it was all of humanity in one picture from the other side of the moon. And she just said, how great thou art. Again, words, aptly spoken, succinct, powerful. There is a phrase that says, don't use many words when few will do. That is something that I am still working on. Don't know if you've noticed. I'm so grateful that we're all works in progress. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the work of his hands. Palm Sunday reminded us, if we don't do our job, even the rocks will cry out. All creation speaks his name. And since we had a chance to walk through the book of Psalms, we know that the heavens declare the glory of God. Like it's over and over and over. So Psalm 51:15 is our prayer now. O Lord, open our lips that we may praise your name. I'm going to pray over us now before I launch us off into time with our squads. But I'm going to read you some poetry in prayer. It's familiar to you because it's a hymn that I think you may have heard last week. It's one of my favorite forms of spoken word, though. It says, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. If you want to close your eyes and pray this with me, you're welcome to. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou, my best thought. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great father, and I thy dear child. Thou in me dwelling, with thee reconciled. Yes, Lord, because of Jesus, we're reconciled with you. Hallelujah. Because you alone are God. We give you all praise and glory and honor. Would you light our way by the power of your Holy Spirit, Abba? You are our best thought at every time of the day. Use our thoughts to speak for your glory, whatever we may be speaking about, wherever we may be, whatever we may be doing, Lord. Be our true wisdom because you are the word of life. Use us head to toe, thoughts to speak to actions for your glory, God. We've been created by you and find our hope in you, our fulfillment in your purposes for our lives. Help us see you clearly and walk wisely as women who want to hear your Holy Spirit and know your word. We love you, Abba. Amen. I'm going to send y'all out, but where is the Lord compelling you to use words wisely for his glory? Where is he pressing you into the obedience of restraint? Which sides of the honeycomb need some building up in your life? That's not your job. That's his. Go to him and ask him. I love you all. Go have fun with your people.